It's Halloween, and it's time to get spoopy with ANAMMA.
What is spoopy? Explain this to me.
It's when something is so spooky that it makes you go poopy. And when something's so horrendous, you start leaking from your ear. And then if something is so creepy, you start dripping from your peepee. And if something's so rotten, bars are seeping through the cotton. And when something so atrocious makes you drop some body bones. So when something is so weird, you start leaking from your navel. Kind of like awkward dad, creepy class, Donald Trump the president when he frets, public news, hairless cats, little toy babies wearing funny hats, smelly feet, open space, the main character from Mass Effect and ominous face, Nickelback, slender man, the strange looking puppet that is Peter Pan, Dark Souls, Voldemort, wrinkled up random little body warts, full moons, some costumes, this guy's terrifying scary face tattoo, big storms, death metal bands, the majority of all Rick and Morty fans, Disney stars,
majority of
being home alone when everyone has gone.
What is spoopy? Explain this to me.
What a fucking mess this episode is already turning out to be. Well, hello there, everyone. It is quite the spoopy episode indeed.
Let's get spoopy. Spoopy is something so spooky that it makes you go poopy.
I've heard about enough of that song for the rest of my life.
So Slim was trying to type some spooky music for us to come into,
right,
and ended up accidentally typing spoopy. And we found
we found out
what spoopy was.
We found quite the gem. We sure did.
Fucking episode 28, and we're fucking back. It's Halloween edition. And Evil Monty's here, you fucking bitch. Here to terrorize Slim all night long. You fucking bitch.
He's already started. I'm crying.
Shit.
I got you food.
You did. Tell them why you got me food.
You want to hear how Slim fucked me this week?
Go ahead. Tell them exactly how you fucked me this week.
Well, you see.
Took me right on Sean's back porch. Left me there alone.
Put him over my knee.
Rude.
I was under the weather yesterday, and it didn't really hit me until the day went on. And I was just kind of like, oh shit, look at the time. I better tell this guy, hey, let's do this tomorrow.
It was 5 minutes after we were supposed to be here when he decided to cancel on me.
I'm on rapper time.
No biggie, Slim, it's okay, buddy. Nobody really cares that you're so slutty and you never want to show up to do a podcast because you're a bitch. You're a bitch.
Wow, you really should make our new intro music.
That was straight off
the off the fucking top. That was better than your fucking rap on a fucking main show the other day. You fucking loser.
Well, a lot of things are better than that. So we are coming off of a fight night UFC Sao Paulo, Brazil.
It is. We're is this episode 28?
Yeah.
The Gregorian calendar episode?
What?
Yeah.
What is that?
I'm pretty sure that shit resets every like 28 years. Gregorian calendars.
For real?
Yeah. No. So this is a Gregorian. That might be wrong. I don't know. I might have just made that up.
You might want to look that up on the break. Anyway, so we almost watched Colby Covington die. The corniest cornball of all.
Wish it would have. But,
It's great audio. Yeah, it's awesome.
He's making me mad.
We got a spooky tree in the back. Do you see that?
Yeah, we're so spooky today for the Halloween episode.
Ooh. Why didn't you dress up? Did you dress up at all this weekend?
Yeah. No. Nah. I was actually a homeless guy on
when I handed out candy.
Oh.
Yep, I had on my bummiest clothes.
Okay.
Me and Taylor could have definitely went straight down to the homeless shelter, and they wouldn't have batted an eye.
Okay, that's fine. All right. At least you participated.
Let's get spoopy.
Okay, let's get right into it. So, for some reason, it won't load the first fight for me.
Oh, Slim. Do you not remember who fought in the first fight, Slim? Of UFC 1, Fight Night 119, Slim?
Slim?
You fucking bitch.
What the hell is a Slim?
What in the hell is a Slim? You guys put this man on a podcast. First off, what in the hell is a podcast? Podcast. That shit is stupid.
You don't think Stephen A. Smith knows what a podcast is?
Stephen A. Smith probably does not know what a podcast is.
Yo, tell me why the CEO of my company has a podcast, and he's not on iTunes or Spotify or iHeartRadio.
Popping like your boys, not exactly. Like your boys. Nope, nope. We're the greatest. The greatest team.
Oh, yeah. The best.
We're better than anybody you ever seen. We're a better doubles team than the Williams sisters at Wimbledon. Slim doesn't even know who that is. Fucking bitch.
You made me go up and cry, bro.
Sorry, I'll relax.
I can't find...
My guy, I mean, what are we waiting for here?
I mean, go ahead, start us off.
Are you confused?
I couldn't find their names.
Are you lost?
It won't load the whole page. I forget how to...
Do you not know where you are right now, Slim?
No, where are we? Good. Go ahead, tell them.
We're at the Lousy Weather Media Studio, having a good old spooky time. Getting super fried with my friends, about to make a super cool podcast. Shout out, Bob!
Just because I'm sure he was upstairs listening.
Hell yeah. So in the first fight, we had What? No, that was excellent.
I mean, that wasn't even a good... all right, let's move on. Like, I just made a fire-ass song.
You been make songs.
Damn!
That's your aesthetic on this show.
Play my dumbass!
You're the music maker.
Damn! Ha ha! Slim played my dumbass, but he's a real stupid ass. Ha!
Is this going to be like last week? Because I can't do another last week.
What was last week? The main show?
The two-hour-long episode of nothing about talking about food.
That was a great episode.
That was a great episode. But we got a little derailed.
We did. But yes, this is going to be just like that.
All right, let me turn these headphones down because you're breaking my face.
You deserve it.
Okay, good.
Let's fucking get it. Fucking talk about UFC Fight Night 119.
Because the shit was pretty lit. Not going to lie.
Yeah, I had a good time.
It was a pretty fire card. I mean, it was exciting throughout.
The Brazilians went 9-12. Spoiler.
Yep. Why'd you have to spoil? I'm just kidding. Yeah, they really killed it. And
until the end.
Yeah. So do you want to maybe, I don't know, Slim, maybe start from the top? Take it from
the
top?
Like the beginning?
Yeah, that's what I meant.
All right.
You know what I mean.
So, undefeated heavyweight prospect Marcelo Gollum.
Oh, yeah.
Came into this fight fighting Christian Colombo.
That's Christian.
Godzilla.
Yeah. You used to call him Christian.
Oh, my bad.
Fighting a chick.
Who knows? Anyway, Godzilla got retired off this fight. Can you believe that?
Did he?
Yeah. He retired right after the cage. Marcelo Gollum came out looking nasty, had the punching power. He's only 25 years old. Finished all of his previous wins by either TKO or KO in the first round, and he promised that he would do that again in this fight. Excuse me. He came out. He had Christian back up against the fence pretty early on in the round, and ended up getting him. He battered him.
Sorry, son.
It's okay. He really beat him down with some shots. Really had him stuck up against the ropes, and he eventually fell down. Marcelo went for the back, got that choke.
Yeah,
didn't even have the legs in.
Nah. So I mean, we didn't really know what to expect from this guy. You know, we'd never really seen him too much. So I mean, we didn't really know. But I mean, as soon as I saw him throw that first power punch, I was like, "Oh shit,
my guy!
Check this guy out."
And, he is one to watch out for. He reminded me of like a Cain Velasquez.
Yeah, he did.
But less of a wrestler.
He did have
I'm fine with that.
He was a little bit of a little bit smaller, I'd say. I mean, Velasquez is a little bit more of a, what should I say here? A intimidating presence.
Even though this dude's 6'3", 242, Velasquez does have a bit of a stockier build. Mm-hmm. So yeah, Marcelo Gomes coming out and getting the first round finish like he said he would. Looking excellent as UFC debut.
Who said he would?
Him.
Oh, I thought you said like he said. Oh, like no, I said he would. I no, was like, we didn't, I didn't say that.
We didn't know him.
No. Slim sniffing the weed since he won't smoke it.
I'll smell it.
I just want a little sniff.
Dude, today was my first day back at work after being on vacation all week.
Oh, no.
I just couldn't do it.
Did you just up and leave?
Well, no. I thought about it, but nah. I stuck it out. I just sucked. I want another vacation, goddammit.
So what happens when you don't, you know, like physically or, you know, like mentally show up to work? How does everybody else around you suffer?
No one really. It's kind of like my own performance that suffers.
Ah, so you really, it's just like a really one-on-one type deal with Slim, like.
I mean, maybe my customer service skills aren't the best when I'm sleepy, but, you know.
Yeah, you don't look the best either when you're sleepy.
So in the next.
Get a little pale.
You are just on one.
Tearing you up.
Are you Chris Clem right now?
Who did Conor McGregor fight in UFC 202, the highest selling pay-per-view event in UFC history?
This is a real question.
Yeah. Hurry up.
I think it was...
Out of time.
I'm kidding. It's fucking Diaz.
In January 2017, what was Juliana Pena's ranking in her UFC division?
Oh, I don't know. That one I don't know.
Let's go with number 3. That was right.
Mm, nice.
Why did Khabib... These questions are weak.
In the next fight, Davison Figueroa versus Jared Brooks. Both these guys were undefeated coming into this fight. We knew Jared Brooks was a wrestler, and we knew Brooks would be a wrestler, and Figueroa obviously wanted to keep it standing, but he was not able to do so, and he got taken down. What was it? 7 times, and every time he got taken down was a fat old slam.
Yeah, Brooks definitely was showing off his power. I mean, he's a shorter, stocky guy. I mean, he's like 5'3", so.
But man, Figueiredo looked huge in this division, dude. He's 5'8".
And is he 5'8"?
Yeah, he looked gigantic for featherweight.
And he's explosive.
No, I'm sorry. It's 5'5".
Yeah, I was about to say.
I was way off.
But he's explosive, man. He was doing some moves that definitely required a lot of just power in general.
Right.
Same thing with Brooks, though. Brooks got caught in about, I'm pretty sure it was like 4 submissions that that were deep. I mean,
five submission attempts.
Yeah, but 4 of them were deep.
Oh, man. Yeah. The 4 of them were the chokes, and then one of them, he got his arm really cranked.
Which was great. That was a great move, man, by Figueiredo.
Yeah, I mean, he kind of dove for
definitely
it.
Definitely showed some submission offense for sure. How'd you have this one, Slim?
Oh, I had a Brooks 2-1. Going into the third, I for sure had Brooks up 2. I mean, he got 7 takedowns, and they were all power slams. Now, to be fair, he didn't do that much. He did not.
They weren't all power slams.
Well, no, but they were timed perfectly, and a few of them were like some pretty big slams. He didn't do that much when he had him, though. But like the first round, the strike count. Uh oh. Okay, my PC ran into a problem and needs to restart. Cool. Tell me the strike count. Are you eating right now? Yo, Bob, you want to take Monty's spot?
You shouldn't have gave me them chips, man.
I put my food away.
Then we'll have 2 people pronouncing everyone's name wrong.
Fuck, we'll never get anything right. We'll have to just have Siri do all the talking for us.
So they're not letting me see the stats of this fight right now. Ah, there we go. Okay. So, yeah, Jared Brooks outstruck him by 60 strikes. He had 11 more significant strikes, 7 takedowns to 1. But Figueiredo did have those 5 submission attempts.
Yeah, but still, they weren't like that threatening, except for that arm crank, that Kimura-looking thing he had from the bottom. But
yeah, that was scary looking.
Yeah, but it was. It was nasty. Anyway, so go.
Dude who announced Jared Brooks' name called him the Monkey of God. It's Monkey God.
Oh, I figured that was wrong.
Yeah, it was funny.
Bruce Buffer, the dude who announced his name.
I don't think it was Bruce Buffer.
What?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Joe Martinez did the first couple.
Oh, for real?
You fucking douche.
All right.
Damn, anyway, I really am like tearing Slim's. We were going to do like an Evil Monty episode, but I feel like I'm really hurting Slim's feelings, so...
What the fuck?
Spooky Monty's off the board.
Can I have my apps, please, dude? My computer just fucking took away all my shit, bro.
Sorry, Slim.
I took away everything on my taskbar. Why?
So sorry, buddy.
What is going on here? Technical difficulties. Anyway, I for sure had a Brooks going into that third round, though. I mean, like... in the past, it's always... We've always favored wrestlers as far as the judges are concerned, and I thought this fight would be no different. Figueiredo did come with some pretty nice clean punches in the last round, and everyone thought he would get tired because he is a bigger featherweight, but he did not. He was looking fine. And
yeah, very, like I said, very athletic guy, very explosive. Honestly, I had the fight 2-1. It was a very close fight. I see how it could have went 29-28.
Yeah, but I think someone had 27.
Yeah, they had Brooks winning. They had Brooks winning 30-27, and then the other two judges had it 29-28.
Oh, yeah, 29-28. Oh, okay, I thought. Okay.
So one dude had it 30-27 for
which I could loser. Totally see how Brooks would have won all three. I mean, I probably gave it to Figueiredo in the last round.
Yeah,
excuse me, just because he did put in that effort,
right?
And he got a takedown of his own. But to have him win two, I mean, I was just like, what? There's no way he won that second round. That's wild. So
I was really impressed though how Brooks kept getting out of those submissions. I can't.
Oh yeah, he just how he was popped the set out so yeah, easy.
I mean, his neck strength is. For absolutely sure. Amazing. So
for sure,
Figueiredo. I mean, it was a close fight. Like I said, could have went either way. Figueiredo definitely a good fighter. I'm excited to see who he gets next. Moves to 13-0 now, and Brooks is now 12-1. Right, Slim?
13-1. And it was interesting to note that I thought Yamasaki did another one of his famed bad calls in this fight because they were kind of rolling around
13-2.
What? Two? No, it was his first loss.
Why does it say he's lost two right here? The shit's messed up.
What are you on? All our shit's messing up today. No, this was his first loss. He was undefeated. Both of these guys were undefeated coming into this. But Brooks, they were kind of like rolling around for a second, and it looked like Figueiredo was about to get out of it and like get back onto his feet, but Brooks grabbed his shorts.
Yeah.
And rolled and ended up getting his back, Figueroa's back. And Mario Yamasaki stopped the fight to stand him up. And I was like, what the fuck? Did Brooks just get robbed of that? Like, are you kidding me? I had to rewind it and go back and watch. Yeah. Like, oh, shit, he really did that. So, Mario Yamasaki with a decent call. Who would have thought? Not me, that's for sure.
He was also the only ref that I like knew other than that Osiris Maya guy who we just saw a couple months ago for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
All the other guys were had no clue where they were.
Fair enough.
Ref-wise.
I thought Brooks got robbed on this one, just saying. Brazilian bone got thrown to Figueiredo.
Okay. Like I said, it could have went either way. Didn't you just say you thought Figueiredo won the...
Third round, that's it.
Huh, you didn't think he won that second round?
No, not at all.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, I mean, definitely was getting the takedowns for Brooks. Like I said, I had it 2-1-2, also in favor of Brooks. But
so are we in a new era, or was this just a Brazilian thing? The new era of the wrestler doesn't mean as much anymore.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
No.
Okay.
That's not true, I don't think. So, no.
All right.
To answer your question, no.
Cool. This next fight got fight of the night. right. Elizu Zaleski dos Santos versus Max Griffin.
Nice. Way to pronounce that this week, Slim.
Thank you.
Yeah, so this fight was definitely a banger. I can see why it won Fight of the Night. Maybe there was another one I would have picked for Fight of the Night, but we'll get to that one later.
Okay.
Anyways, Zaleski, man, definitely showed a lot of freaking power in this fight, dude.
Yeah.
And at the same time, though, we had Max Griffin, who showed heart, dude. I mean, he was literally out on his feet. He was knocked out, wobbled. I have no clue how my man did not get this fight stopped. But that just shows how tough he is. He stuck it out. In the first round, they both pretty much, like, at first, Griffin dropped Zaleski, Dos Santos, and, like, rushed him.
Right.
Thought that was going to be the end of that. And then they stood back up a couple minutes later. Griffin gets rocked. And, I mean, dude, he was so close. He was literally out on his feet. And he just kept going.
That's wild.
Just kept throwing him. Ended up sticking out the whole fight. It was a banger. I definitely, thought this was a great fight, man.
Oh, yeah. Zaleski dos Santos moves to is on a 4-fight win streak in the UFC.
Yeah.
And Griffin takes his second loss in the UFC.
Yeah, so this Dos Santos guy is the real deal. He's staying active. He's been fighting a lot lately. That's the second fight this year so far. Fought late last year. And he's beaten Omari Akhmedov, Kaden Nakamura, Lyman Good, and now Max Griffin. So, I mean, my dude's been tearing it up lately. Only lost his first fight ever in the UFC. And not, like, overall, but
yeah.
Since he's been in the UFC, he only lost his first fight since he joined the promotion. And, I mean, he's looking good, man. But Max Griffin definitely showed a lot of heart. Shout out to him. It was a great fight. Like I said, he came in and took back that second round after getting rocked all the way through that end of that first round. And I thought it was great of him to, you know, show so much heart.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
And that third round, Dos Santos just took over again and ended up winning it. The judges had it.
The out of the ring refs.
The judges had it. 29-27, 29-28, 29-28 in favor of Elizu Zaleski dos Santos.
Very nice.
So he moves on to his fourth win in a row.
One to watch out for in the lightweight division for sure.
Yeah, definitely stringing together some really nice performances. We'll see if he gets back in the cage again immediately.
Oh, yeah.
In the next fight.
Man, this one kind of took me by surprise a little bit.
Sames. I wasn't expecting this, but it was a night of unexpected shit. People who had never gotten knocked out. I'm pretty sure Cormier said it was like three people who had never been finished before got finished.
Damn.
On this night.
That's wild.
Yeah, so.
Vincente Luque. Is it Luque? Yeah, Luque.
Luque.
Luque fought undefeated Nico Price.
Mm-hmm.
And, I did not see this going that way it did for Price, honestly. But
yeah, I'm pretty sure we both picked Nico for this one. And he was the underdog in this fight. So, it was kind of weird because he's 10-0 and the other dude's 11-6. So when you see, like, if you're doing, like, record matching or just kind of, like, looking at stuff like that, I mean, it kind of went in Nico's favor, but
right.
Apparently, we hadn't done our homework on our man's here, so
no. That's which is fair to see. He's now got 5 wins in the UFC.
Yeah, Antonio Carlos Jr. is
who?
I'm sorry, I looked at the next. Wait, are we talking about Luque right now?
Oh, did I jump ahead?
Yeah, you skipped way ahead.
Whoops, my bad.
We didn't even get Akran Diaz and Jared Gordon.
All right, well, let's keep
that's
talking about
right
now.
Confused.
Anyway, Luque. Oh, he looked okay. What can I say?
Oh, no. That was bad, Slim.
That's sorry. Nico, though, you know, he'll definitely get back in there and takes his first L in his professional career.
For sure. And, I mean, he took it like champ. You know, was definitely respectful afterwards. I don't know, man. It just... Luke Hayes got some power in his hands, and that's his... How many fights has he won in a row now?
Just one.
Just... Oh, that was his first... He lost his... Dropped his last one?
Yeah.
Leon Edwards. Yeah, so, I mean, that was... I was definitely thinking Nico Price could win that one. That would have been a pretty big win for him to keep climbing up.
And, for sure.
Maybe would have gotten a pretty big fight if he would have gotten a win in this one, so...
He'll be back. He's still young, right?
Yeah, for sure. And, I mean, it was a Darce choke, so, you know, it was kind of something that he really just fell into. I mean, you could tell it was just something that he wasn't expecting
right. And
hasn't really trained for, so... you know, it's something that he's got in his mind now that he'll always have with him that he'll be able to learn from. So probably going to start working on his submission defense a little bit. But shout out to Vicente Luque for... Yeah.
Luque also went out to say after the fight that he wants someone in the top 15 now.
Hmm. All right. We'll see. He might be pushing it a little bit. I mean...
Maybe.
He just lost to Leon Edwards, man. I mean, he did beat... Bilal Muhammad, who's a beast, so, and Hector Urbina, so he's got some pretty quality wins, beat Haider Hassan. We'll see, though. I don't know about top 15 yet. Maybe one more and then top 15.
We will see. Going back a step.
Yeah, to the second fight of the prelim card.
Hakran Diaz versus Jared Gordon.
I'm about to burp. Go ahead.
Gordon pretty much completely dominated this fight. The first round was a little bit more even, probably going for Diaz.
Diaz.
But the Diaz. But the last two rounds, man, all Jared Gordon.
For sure.
He put the pressure on.
So, I mean, Diaz, dude, literally had to be carried back to his corner after the second round. Jose Aldo literally sprinted up there and grabbed him and had to carry him to his corner, which we forgot to mention, this also happened to Max Griffin.
Really?
After one of the rounds, he was just laying on the ground, and they had to, or actually it was after the first round when he was standing up, pretty much knocked out. They had to go out and grab him and carry him to the seat and set him down.
Jesus.
On his stool. So, yeah. That was something that was also weird that you never really see.
Right.
And you saw it twice in the same night. The ring men
had to come
out and grab their fighter. So, anyways, Diaz was absolutely exhausted going into that third round. And, yeah, Brooks just absolutely dominated.
Gordon,
I meant. There's two Jareds. I got them confused. But, yeah, Flash Gordon.
Hell, yeah. Getting the... first win against the Brazilians.
I think that he needs to work on being a little bit lighter on his feet, maybe moving them a little bit more, working on his movement, and also using some different levels with his head. It was just something I noticed with him that he could probably work on to be a little bit better. He just looked kind of flat-footed and didn't change his levels well. I don't know how well he'll do against a experienced boxer in the UFC.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair.
Little Monty insight.
Monty tips.
Yeah.
With Monty.
Monty tits.
Ooh. Ooh. All right, where are we at here?
Ooh.
I'm getting lost.
Ooh.
Oh, Antonio Carlos Jr. versus Jack Marshman.
Jr.
Man, did I have any notes on this one? No. Carlos Jr., though, coming out and getting that sub.
Submission.
What, was it a guillotine?
Yeah, it was a guillotine, and it was kind of out of a... Or actually, I'm sorry, it was a rear naked choke. I was thinking of the other fight.
Okay.
But anyways, yeah, from the get, I mean, Marshman kind of looked a little bit uncomfortable here with... Antonio Carlos Jr. And my man's just was obviously the better fighter in this fight, and pretty much just immediately dropped him, got on top, and just finished him with a rear naked choke. Like it was nothing. I mean, it was quick, easy. It was towards the end of the round, and I mean, Marshman didn't really even have a chance in this fight.
No, he didn't even have a chance to get off. He landed one significant strike.
Yeah, he caught a kick, but couldn't even trip Antonio Carlos. He actually ended up reversing the trip, and I mean, it was just a good display there by Antonio Carlos Jr. and just extended the good night for the Brazilian fighters.
Yee.
So he ended up getting the rear naked choke in the first round.
With only 30 seconds left to go.
Yep.
Really nice. So we skipped Nico Price fight.
Luque. So yeah, that was the prelims for UFC Fight Night 119.
In the next fight.
John Lineker
versus the beginning of the main card.
This one, I really didn't know what to expect going into this one. Marlon Vera looking really good on his last outing with Brad One Punch Pickett. Retired, my man.
Yep.
And Lineker, you know, what was he? He was number five.
Moving up into the bantamweight division because he couldn't freaking make flyweight.
Nope. That's fine. John Lineker, he did have hands of stone, and he does have hands of stone, and boy, was he showing it. What notes did I have on this one? Let me see.
Definitely. So, Chito Vera.
Vera was landing really nice in the first round. He was trying to find his range until Lineker disappeared. Like, he just kind of got into a groove.
Yeah, so Chito was doing a good job initially of keeping his distance with Lineker because obviously you don't want to get close in with that man.
Right.
And he did a good job keeping his distance. And he was taking some of Lineker's best shots. I mean, Lineker landed some knockout punches and Chito ate him up, so showed off a great chin with that. And I mean, Lineker did win those first two rounds just off of aggression. And I think I'm probably positive that he landed more strikes in both of those rounds. And then in the third round, Chito kind of just let loose, let his hands go, started throwing more, a lot of different strikes. And it was working well.
Yeah, he looked nice.
He definitely took that third round. I wish he would have maybe did that there in the second round because he would have possibly been able to win this fight.
He was probably going for broke at that point. He had to have known he was down on the scorecards.
But yeah, I mean, he put up a great fight against a top five bantamweight in the world, and he's unranked. So I think that kind of shows this wasn't even a bad loss for him. It was a good showing, especially that third round really showed what he could do against a elite fighter in the division. And, you know, Chito Vera is definitely nobody to sleep on.
No, and he's only 24 years old.
And still to this day has not been finished. So he's fought John Lineker, and I mean, my man Brad Pickett. He's fought people who can really end fights. And
right, honestly.
Stays in there. He's 10-4-1 now, 4-3 in the UFC. You know, great fighter. John Lineker is now 30-8, moves to 11-3 in the UFC, and he has improved to 5-1 since he moved up to that UFC bantamweight division.
Good. Well, maybe you'll find his home there. He is a little shorter for that division, though, isn't he?
Definitely, but
he's only 5'3".
He couldn't make weight at flyweight. So.
Nah.
It was a move that he had to do.
That's fair.
So, John Lineker ends up getting the unanimous decision victory over Marlon Chito Vera. And that was a unanimous decision, 30-27, 29-28, 29-28.
Very nice. In the next one, I kind of knew this would happen.
Yeah.
Thiago Santos versus Jack Hermanson.
So I'm pretty sure I did pick Hermanson in an upset because I don't know what I was thinking, man. But yo, this man Thiago Santos is just a scary freaking dude.
So scary.
I mean, it was a good. Beginning of the fight, you know, Hermanson definitely was doing what he needed to do, but man, kind of moving into the middle of that round, Santos really started picking at Hermanson, and it just got bad. And the craziest thing was those last 10 seconds when Hermanson was down, And this dude, Thiago Santos, was landing those punches. It felt those were the longest 10 seconds, dude.
Honestly.
I was like, dang, when's this bell going to ring?
That was unnecessary punishment.
Ended up knocking him out in 4 minutes and 59 seconds into the first round.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Damn.
Only had 1 second to go.
Hermanson only landed 5 punches.
Yeah. And, dude, Thiago Santos keeps showing off why he is one of the scariest dudes in the UFC and why he should be, you know, nothing to be taken lightly. So he has now won his last
three
out of five. His two losses before that were to Eric Spicely and Gegard Mousasi. Before that, he'd beaten Elias Theodorou, Nate Marquardt. So, I mean, my man has some really good wins on his record. I think he might get a top 10 fight coming up.
Yeah, he's number 15, so that's the only thing right to do.
Makes sense. We'll see what goes on for Thiago Santos.
For sure. In this next one, this was a bit of a Legends fight.
A bit? Just a bit?
Quite the Legends fight.
It was quite the Legends fight. It was. Now, this was the fight that I picked as fight of the night because, dude, I thought this one was pretty fire. Do you not agree, Slim?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Something came up.
I had to check you like a teacher checks their student. Don't you agree, Slim? Over there on your phone, Slim? But yeah, anyways, that first round was definitely Miller. Just did a good job controlling that first round. But then there in the second round, Trinaldo kind of became the one who was pushing the pace. And definitely showed his strength. I mean, he is still at 39 years old, a physical presence, dude. That man is a beast. Nothing to be messed with at
Ain't
all.
Ain't none to fuck with.
And
wasn't Jim Miller going to break a record coming into this fight?
Yeah, it was supposed to be something.
For like most UFC appearances, I think, maybe?
I'm pretty sure that was what it was. Yeah, so Jim Miller broke the official lightweight record. He has been fighting for 4 hours, 57 minutes, and 53 seconds altogether. Think about that.
That's a long time.
Think about that, Slim.
It's a really long time. If you sat down and watched all his fights, that would take you a really long time.
Damn. That would take a long time. That would take you 5 hours if you just went straight through.
Right.
That's a long time.
But he's beaten the who's who of people in this division. He just coming off wins over Takanori Goma, Joe Lozon, and Thiago Alves.
Right.
Unfortunately, he did drop his last three to Dustin Poirier, Anthony Pettis, and Francisco Trinaldo was number three. But, yeah, he was on 2 losses coming into this one before that. So I don't think he was on like quite like a desperation mode, you know what I mean? But definitely wanted to come out there and get the win in front of that crowd. And what's his name? Trinaldo was not having any of that.
Right. So, I mean, dude, Jim Miller, still one of the funnest fighters to watch in the UFC. Always goes out there and puts on a absolute great time. My man is 4-7 in his last 11 fights, though, in the UFC.
Damn.
Which is a hard stat to hear, honestly.
It is. I definitely had him win in the first round.
Oh, for sure.
Miller did. And then in the second one, Trinaldo was landing really flush. Miller had went for a guillotine and ended up getting stuck on his back. And I believe that's where he finished the round, was in that position. And Trinaldo came out and pretty much cemented himself for the third round with a takedown. So
yeah. So Francisco Trinaldo's 11 victories since 2011 are now tied with Donald Cerrone for most in the lightweight division.
Nice.
Yep, and going back to Miller, he's now lost his last 3, which is his longest skid ever in his career. Just don't know where he goes from here, man. I hope he doesn't retire. Like I said, he still puts on great fights.
Maybe a little lesser competition.
Maybe we'll see what they do for him next. I think he's still got a couple fights left in him, and
I agree.
You know, always a good person to see in the ring. So we'll see what goes for Jim Miller.
For sure. This next one was quite the barn burner, turned out to be.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty close to the beginning. I thought it was going to be. These guys are both great prospects coming up. 12 verse 13.
Pedro Munoz versus Rob Font. Font got rocked in the first round, and Munoz secured a nasty and quick guillotine.
Yeah, so.
And he got submission of the night with that.
Yeah, the young Punisher landed a nasty left, and, you know, Rob Font hung in there, but. Dude, Munoz was just nailing him. Right. He did bust up Munoz. Rob Font did bust up Munoz's nose pretty bad, though.
Oh, for sure.
Had that shit messed up for super sure. bad. But, you know, Munoz, like I said, ended up getting that knockdown and basically, like, locked him up. And Font kind of, like, tried doing some weird little move to try getting out of it. Right. But at that point, it was already too deep.
Right.
And that was the end of it. So Pedro Munoz gets the win over Rob Font.
And he's now on submission. A four-fight win streak.
Yeah.
And he got submission of the night with that, too.
Right.
Very nice.
Which was, I mean, obviously, I mean, the other submission earlier in the night, the rear naked choke, was nice, too. But Pedro Munoz against heavy competition there, fighting his number 13 guy behind him, so that didn't make sense.
No, kind of. I mean, I got what you meant.
Yeah, fighting the number 13
contender.
Yeah,
you almost said prospect.
I'm high.
Anyway, this next fight. What can you not say about this next fight?
That Corny, I like Colby Covington.
That's fair. So Corny Colby Covington had been saying all week long that when he got to Brazil, it was a dump. He had no air conditioning in his hotel. He was sweating. Mm. And he said the Brazilian people were disgusting and gross. I just want to make a disclaimer that we here at A&A MMA do not support any sort of slander to any sort of type of people or race or anything like
at
that.
At all. At all. Whatsoever. We do not condone that. There,
but, or the right phrasing.
So, Colby Covington, you are a straight fucking mosquito.
Annoying?
A fucking plebis. A fucking...
A what?
A plebis. A donut. A fucking worm. Burger.
Worm burger?
Yeah. Fucking penis. No, but seriously, this guy's a straight dickhead. Here, what a jerk. Give me the audio cord.
Yeah, okay. And you know why? You know why I found out he's doing so many antics like he does? He's a wrestler. He's a wrestler at heart.
Yeah, I was surprised when you told me that. Did he actually show up?
Here. Did he? A Christmas ale.
Yeah, Monty already out here with the Christmas ale, getting prepared. Great Lakes Christmas ale comes out today or tomorrow.
Oh, yeah?
One of those 2 days. It's going to be lit. Be on the lookout for that, Slim. I know you like those dark beers and stuff, buddy.
Dark, dark, dark. Dark Monty.
Dog Monty. Don't even get me started, because then I'll just make you mad again.
Man,
I don't want to hurt
you. Yeah,
feelings.
No, you calmed down nice.
I did. All right, so let's hear what this fucking dork has to say. This is after.
I said, because, you know, I don't think I said anything that offensive. You know, look at the stuff they're saying to me all week, John. Like the stuff in the walkout. They're saying, oh, you're a faggot. Oh, you're going to die. Oh, you're a pussy. Oh, you're this. Homophobic slurs. Like all these different, like, super nasty remarks. And I'm just like, where's the double standard at? They can say these things, but I say just, oh, the place is a dump and they're filthy animals just as a game, because this is a game to me. I'm just having fun with it. I'm just trying to promote and make it fun for the fans, you know? So how am I taking criticism for that? Look at what they're saying to me. Stop having a double standard.
Nah. Was it really a double standard, though? Will you play his post-fight cage speech? Because this one was just, ridiculous. He started yelling out, you know, whatever he was, and, he actually put a hand to the translator. He's like, we ain't translating today.
Pushed him.
Yeah. He's like, nah. And then had to be rushed out of the octagon and hidden by like six security guards as the entire crowd threw trash right at him. Hot dogs, cans, bottles, everything was whizzing past his dome.
If you don't answer the front door, I'm going to knock in, and I'm going to take what's mine. That one to win,
What a cornball. So do you think... Okay, so my only thing is, all right, aside from Colby's antics, he looked really good in the fight. He stopped all 12 of Damian Maia's takedowns,
mm-hmm.
which he did pretty easily. I mean, he looked like he had no problem doing so.
So didn't Maia miss all of his takedowns against Woodley also?
Yes, but that was like 22.
So he's missed his last 30-something
yeah. takedowns. Yeah. Let's see what his... if he'll show his takedown average. I wonder.
It's got to be down there now. It's been taking a little bit of a hit.
His takedown average, his takedown accuracy is down to 26%.
Ouch.
Fuck.
Ouch. But yet he goes for them. And yeah, I mean, Colby loser bug, but Karen Colving Colving book.
Okay.
He did a good job. I mean, it was a good fight.
He had a good game plan.
I was surprised that Maia was trying to strike with him that much. He was obviously trying to... I mean, Covington obviously talked him into a boxing match, and, you know, Maia went into it like that.
Maia... Colby actually got cut by Maia in the first round.
Oh, yeah. He was bleeding, and but by the
Colby
end
of the... Colby for sure returned the favor.
Yeah, but by the end of the fight, Maia was a bloody... battered, destroyed mess, had him bleeding all over the canvas.
Yeah, it looked like Maia was just trying to be super patient and not like get, you know, stuck anywhere, but he was just being too patient. He got nowhere.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Covington just did everything he was supposed to do, pretty much dominated the entire fight, ended up winning 29-27, 30-27, 30-26.
Okay, but the only thing I can say about him is he beat Maia better than Woodley.
He did.
I thought Woodley could go out there and knock Damian's head off. Mm. And I still think he can. And I still think he should have. Just to say, like, yeah, I'm a badass. But no, he played it safe, you know, whatever. Did you see some of Woodley's tweets?
What'd he say?
Oh, dude. So much shit. Let me see if I can find a couple. Keep talking about Corny Cub.
So...
Cornucopia.
Where does Corny Butt Covington... go from here?
I mean, I don't know. He's got to be like number three right now. He just took out number three.
We still need to see what happens with the Stephen Thompson and Jorge Masvidal fight that's right. going to happen this weekend.
We need to see what Ponzinibbio does against Perry.
So, I mean, we got some stuff coming up. Darren Till just moved up there. I think Kamaru Usman is what everybody wants to see.
Yeah, that's my next one for sure.
And I also suggested maybe Darren Till, because Covington's been talking that spicy shit about Brazil. We mentioned last week how Darren Till lived in Brazil for a little while.
He did. That would be a good one to see. Why can I not find Tyron's fucking Twitter?
That'd also be a nice little shit talk fest.
I'm not going to look it up right now, but anyway. At this point, though, how do you... Colby just took out number three. How do you kind of deny him the number one contender spot? Not number one, but like, you know?
I mean, he's up there. He's definitely in the conversation for who should fight Woodley.
I just think Woodley will wash him. I think this will get Woodley excited and mad and actually make him show up to fight more than he has against Wonderboy and Maia in the last couple title defenses that he had. Because I think he really wants to make a statement on Colby if they were to fight and sign that contract.
And I'm sure Colby will be able to talk him into wanting to do that, because his last two fights haven't had a, you know, Thompson isn't much of a talker. Damian Maia is obviously not a talker.
No.
So, you know, Covington might be able to light that fire in his belly to kind of want to get that knockout, kind of get that, you know, especially after all the stuff he has been facing the UFC, Dana, and all that stuff.
I'm sure he could do it.
We'll see. He still has that surgery he needs to...
Who? Oh, Woodley, yeah. So it won't be for a while if it does happen.
Yeah, so I think Kamaru Usman would be the right test for Covington.
Yeah, but he's already at number 15. And he's got a fight coming up. Do you see that? They announced that he's fighting someone?
I didn't see Usman.
Some dude named Meeks. I don't know who it is, but he's not like, I guess he's coming up, but he's not, you know. I think it's on 219.
Hmm.
Might be 218. Anyway, yeah, Usman's got a fight already, so.
Yeah, so Corny Colby Covington gets the unanimous decision over Damian Maya.
Good job, I guess.
Nope.
Punk bitch.
Fuck you. You racist prick.
True. In the next fight, Derek Brunson against the return of the dragon, Lyoto Machida. One of the best karate practitioners in the UFC behind Wonder Boy.
Yeah, definitely.
The original Karate Man.
Mm-hmm. And the first one to kind of throw those wild teep kicks.
Crane and kicks and
wild shit that people haven't really seen. And yeah. One of the most lethal strikers ever in the UFC.
Why was he on that long layoff? Do you know?
He got caught for drugs and suspended for 2 years.
Oh, it was 2 years? I thought it was less than that.
No, it was two.
Okay. Unfortunately, it was not Machida's night. And Derek Brunson snuck a hammer in under his glove.
Always does, man. That dude has rockets in his hands. And dude, he's a super accurate puncher. I could tell once the fight started. I mean, Machida did a good job keeping his distance. And, you know, I mean, the first couple minutes were pretty, you know, good for Machida. He looked all right. You know, he was mixing it up, kind of getting in there, but I could just feel it. It was just a matter of time, and then Brunson just ended up landing a couple, dude, dropped Machida, and then the follow-up strikes were just vicious.
Totally
dude.
Unnecessary. Machida so was out. He took three shots while he was asleep.
Hammer fist just blasting him. So that was bad. It was vicious.
There were only 13 punches landed from either fighter in this fight, three of which were by Machida.
Yeah. And kind of just shows what Brunson's able to do. Who knows where he'd be right now if he would have gotten that bone, if Anderson Silva wouldn't have gotten that bone thrown against Brunson. So
I hate that one.
Right. My man, definitely out here doing his thing. You can't say enough about this guy.
No, that was an amazing dominant win, and it really was a statement because, you know, the Machida being off that layoff, everyone wanted to know what he would do, and now he's now taking three L's back to back.
And that was a really tough fight for him to come back
from. Oh, for sure. Derek Brunson is like, what, number five?
Yeah, he's up there. Did you know my man was a cheerleader?
I did. No, he was number seven, but I did know that. And people used to make fun of him until they started seeing all these pictures having fun with all these girls.
He's the man. He's been in the UFC for a while now.
Hell yeah.
It's been 5 years since he joined the UFC.
That's crazy.
But when he beat Chris Lieben in his very first UFC fight.
The Crippler.
He also fought Jacare Souza in Strikeforce.
Oh, shit.
Damn, Derek Brunson's been in the game, man.
Hell yeah.
He fought in Strikeforce for a while.
So, honestly, I think it might be time for Machida to retire.
I agree.
But where does this put Brunson?
I mean, he keeps moving up there.
Well, no, never mind.
I think maybe he'll get the winner of Silva and Gastelum. Maybe they'll have him get a little revenge fight on Silva or Chris Weidman.
That would be sick. I'd like to see that.
Maybe Luke Rockhold?
Well,
No,
wait, didn't he call out Luke Rockhold? He did, yeah. He called it out. Cormier said, oh, who would you like to fight next? And he was like, well, you got a pretty good training partner over there. Let's fight Luke Rockhold.
I think that'd be a good one.
Yeah, I mean, for sure put him in title contention.
Rockhold just came off that win against David Branch.
Mm-hmm.
That might be the fight to make. I see that maybe being announced here in the near future. What we say usually comes to fruition, so.
Because we got good eyes for this shit.
Yeah. That was UFC Fight Night 119. By the way, Brunson won 2 minutes and 30 seconds in, exactly halfway through. So, just to kind of follow up with all that, Derek Brunson got Performance of the Night. Pedro Munoz got Performance of the Night. Eliseo dos Santos got Submission of the Night. And just a little bit of a fun fact here on the last two fights since, you know, we didn't. Maya is actually 0 for 35 on his takedown attempts over his past two fights.
Wow. 0-35.
Yeah, yikes. Covington attempted no takedowns in a fight for the first time in his career.
Whoa.
He had landed 41 of them in his previous 8 UFC appearances.
I mean, you can't blame him, though.
Yeah. And so Colby Covington's 5-fight UFC winning streak in the welterweight division is now the second longest active streak in the division behind who, Slim?
Woodley.
Kamaru Usman.
Oh, really? Not Woodley.
Kamaru Usman.
Damn.
There in the welterweight.
Usman's only number 15 and he's on, is he on like a 7-fight win streak? Did you say that?
It's 6.
Okay.
It's 6.
But damn, Colby snuck in there.
Yeah, dude. Getting up there with Usman. That might be the fight to make. The 2 longest streaks in the division. Let him go at it.
2.
Yes.
I would like that. I want to see Usman knock his face off.
Machida has now fell to 3-4 since he dropped to the middleweight division.
Damn.
So he's having a little bit of a rough slide there. His 3-fight losing streak is the longest of his career. And Machida is now 5-7 in UFC main event fights.
Damn.
Doesn't do well in the spotlight.
No.
Brunson, on the other hand, has 9 UFC victories since 2012 and is tied with Brad Tavares for most in the division.
Ever?
No, since right now.
Oh, okay, cool.
Since 2012.
Nice.
Yeah. Bet you didn't see that one coming from those two.
No.
Yeah, Brunson also has earned 7 of his 9 UFC victories by stoppage now. And those 7 UFC stoppage victories since 2012 are tied for the most in the division.
Dope.
Yeah. So
facts.
Facts on Deckington. And like we said, next for Brunson, our vote is for Rockhold, and we want Machida to retire. Covington, we say he gets Kamaru Usman. Who does Damian Maia fight?
Let's look see.
Cerrone?
I don't want to see that. I don't want to see Cerrone drop another one like that. Maybe Gunny.
That's a possibility. Definitely.
Or like a Dong Young Kim?
Maybe an unranked fighter.
Unranked. You think he drops all the way down from the number 3 to
No, unranked? I don't think he's going to be unranked. I'm just saying maybe he fights.
No, I mean, like, yeah, that's what I mean. You think he goes all the way back to.
Maybe. Just to get him back on track a little bit.
Yeah. Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that was UFC Fight Night 119. And a very entertaining card. Had a good time watching it.
I enjoyed.
Was sad to see my boy Nico Price take the L, but we'll see him bounce right back. Derek Brunson looked absolutely amazing.
He did.
And Corny Colby Covington still sucks.
Yeah.
Still the most hated motherfucker in the world.
Right.
Let's take a break.
Okay. Pain pills you got from the dentist. My crib smell like pot and some incense. Plot on and got cash crops and a drop color spinach. You said the money stay out for the bin left. Hang the phone up like the dope up. Tell the hoe to clean the coke up. And she wait to get a throw. Fuck them bad habits. Whole faculty some trife bastards. We doing anything to live lavish. I came a long way from burning dimes away in a fiend house. Tell my bitch to count my money before she pull a weave out. Slang out into where you can't understand what we speak about. Mix a half a grain with the blue drain ounce. Flip it for double. I feel like Barney Rubble. 10 toes in the gravel. I'm finding trouble in any form. Hustle's the fucking norm. Riding the fucking storm. Feeling like Morrison. The fucking Lizard King. I swear I could do anything. The one anything that shit is crap. Niggas know the deal. When we start the revolution, all they probably do is squeal. But chill. Chill.
Who is Ray Roberts? He got a shirt off in the Henny bottle.
Who is Ray Roberts?
Stand up comic and a male model.
Who is Ray Roberts?
He owns a motherfucking podcast.
Who is Ray Roberts?
It's called 9 AM Nonsense.
Who is Ray Roberts?
He got a shirt off in the Henny bottle.
Who is Ray Roberts?
Stand up comic in the
mail
model.
Who is Ray Roberts?
He also
loves a bunch of
podcasts.
Who is Ray Roberts?
Come on.
If I could just chill, vibe, and meditate, I get my mind strong enough to make a fucking fat bitch levitate. That's Mayweather strong. They just hate that he on sun shining on his dog's ass. Whoa, Chuck, pause that. They gon' think you comment on videos. That's from a movie, you silly hoes.
That's from a movie, you silly hoes. Silly hoes.
All right, so we're back.
So we're back. And we're getting ready to give you a little quick rundown of UFC 217, the biggest card of the year. George St. Pierre's return.
How many times have we said that this year?
Three title fights. Well, yeah, they just keep getting bigger. Two 219.
How many biggest cards of the year have we had this year? Is this our third one? I
think? Probably. Do you think that this card tops UFC 205?
For shiz.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That had a few title fights on it?
Yeah, I think this is... I mean, dude, you got everything you need in this one, pretty much. You got the legend coming back, St. Pierre.
Right.
You got the unbeaten champion, Cody Garbrandt, fighting his arch nemesis.
Correct.
We got the greatest woman fighter of all time.
Also unbeaten.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's a lot going on.
The battle for the number one contender spot in... Oh, yeah. The battle for the number one contender spot in the welterweight division. And Paulo Borrachina about to knock Big Rig out. What are you doing?
The microphone somehow came loose during the break.
He's playing with it.
I hadn't been touching it. It was falling. Eat my ass. I'm just going to hold it.
Oh, my God. All right. So, there's honestly some super-duper fire fights on this card. I'm really particularly interested in OSP versus Corey Anderson, number 6 versus number 7.
This is going to be an issue.
Oh, God. Freaking dummy. You talk, I'll fix that.
All right. So, as Slim is fixing my microphone. Yeah, like he said, I mean, the UFC Fight Pass card is about to be sick, dude. The preliminary card features a light heavyweight bout that has Von Flew, St. Preux, and Corey Anderson, who himself banged shit out.
Yeah.
My man is an absolute savage.
And Corey Anderson hasn't fought since he got knocked out by Jimmy Manoa earlier in the year.
Yeah, so trying to make a little comeback on that one against a obviously tough fight there with Ovince St. Preux. And we also have a heavyweight bout featuring Alexei Oleinik and Curtis Blaydes. And then we have a little bantamweight bout against Ayman Zahabi and Ricardo Ramos. So
I'm really excited for this Curtis Blaydes fight.
Yeah, we'll do a little bit of a quick
Alexei Oleinik. Didn't he just fight?
Yeah, he's been active lately, definitely doing his thing.
He beat Travis Brown.
Though he's got a little bit of age to him, my man's still out here putting the work
from
in.
From Moscow.
Yeah.
This the fight is wild that they have all these ranked contenders. Well, really just the heavyweight fight and the light heavyweight fight on the early prelims. And then just the regular prelims are just, I mean, they're not bad fighters, but they're not anyone ranked. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah. I gotcha.
Random.
Very random.
Anyway.
Sorry. I'm distracted here. Let me smack this bowl and get focused.
Okay. Yeah, like I said, I'm super excited for the St. Preux and Corey Anderson fight. Do you know who Corey Anderson was supposed to fight that Preux stepped in for? Short notice.
Sorry. Patrick Cummins.
Okay, cool. Alright, and this is a way more firefight, just saying.
Yeah, definitely a good add-on.
I got OSP.
This isn't even the first fight of the night.
I know. I just went right to that one.
Why do you do that? Why are you going out of whack today?
I don't know.
I just wanted to skip it because it sounded cool.
Because that's the fire one.
No, that's not how that works.
Oh, I need the fire hose. Who's got the first fire hose?
Are we back?
Yeah.
All right. So we had some technical difficulties. We're back, and we're going to get the shit going.
Here we go.
So, like we said, Ayman Zahabi going up against Ricardo Ramos.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to go with Ayman Zahabi via knockout.
The Canadian, nice. I'll do the same.
All right. We're both going Zahabi in the opening fight of the preliminary card on UFC Fight Pass. In the second fight, the one that Slim could not wait to talk about, we have OSP Von Flu St. Preux going up against Corey Anderson. Who do you got, Slim?
I would have to say that I got OSP winning this one.
You're going
to
go ahead and take OSP?
Yeah.
I mean, Corey Anderson has dropped two of his last three. Hasn't been looking too good in his last three fights. I think I'm going to have to go with OSP in this one.
Ovin St.
Preux. I think I'm back on the OSP train. He had me disappointed for a while. I was doubting him. I'm pretty sure on some previous episodes I had, you know, talked a little bit of that poopy on St. Preux.
You did. Spoopy. You were doing
I talked some of that spoopy.
A lot of spoopy.
Nah. Not this time.
Good.
I got OSP winning this
one.
Way
to change your ways. Same. In the next one. Curtis Razorblades versus Alexei Oleinik.
Yeah.
The old man. The boa constrictor. The 40-year-old Russian.
The 40-year-old Russian who cannot stop fighting every other month.
Bro, the Russian has 63 fights. Curtis Blades has 8.
Talk about an experience advantage.
That's pretty wild.
Absolutely out of fucking control.
I'm going to go out on a limb and take Blades in this one, though.
Wow. Slim takes Curtis Blades.
Because I went back and watched his fight with Francis Ngannou, and I think that he would have maybe almost even won that fight. Well, he was doing good, like, let's say that.
Curtis Blades also be smoking that good green.
Yeah, he do.
You know?
You know?
Spoiler alert.
I do know. So you're going to take Oleinik?
I am going to go ahead and take Alexei Oleinik by
submission, probably.
Yep.
I'm going to take Blades TKO.
Wow. All right. So
that's Fight Pass prelims. And now on to the regular prelims, the return of Mickey Gall.
Ooh, I'm sure everybody's super hyped for that one.
You don't sound very hyped for that one.
I just think... I'm just kidding. I am pretty excited for this. I'm ready to see what this kid can really do here on a big stage. He's beating Sage. He's beating CM Loser Punk. And let's see what he does now in this next fight. Who you got, Slim?
I got the Mickey Gall.
I think...
How can you bet against Mickey Gall, dude?
I think he might really be the real deal. But I think Randy Brown might come in and get this one.
Yeah?
I think Randy Brown might come in and steal this one.
You think Mickey Gall takes his first L in his professional career?
I think Mickey Gall is going to take his first L here against Randy
Brown,
who just lost his last fight against Bilal Muhammad. And... you know, he has lost via rear naked choke before, which we've seen Mickey Gall execute.
Right.
But hey, I think I'm going to go ahead and take Rude Boy Randy Brown.
Okay.
In an upset.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think Gall spent this time away from the cage doing his homework and training up. And I think he's going to
come in and impress.
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely.
Sick.
In the next fight.
I am Kuntalaba against God damn it. You do that one.
Nope. Give it a shot, Slim. You got it, buddy.
Michael from Poland.
Alexichuk.
Okay.
Alexichuk.
All right.
Alexichuk. My name is Mikhail Alexichuk.
That's right.
Fucking worm. We'll fucking smack you in your stupid spectacles with your fucking polo hat. Now I'm from... Nigeria.
Yeah.
And I smack you in your sound stupid like
that
one. Face.
Did you ever see that he would like play video games?
Yeah, that shit was funny, bro. But
how would he find their address, though? Like,
because he had like a thing.
He had a thing.
He'd be like typing it. Like he'd show his screen too, and he'd be like showing how he'd like be looking them all up.
I didn't see that one.
Like he wouldn't have their address, like their shit. He'd like blur it out, but he'd just be showing how he was looking them up.
That's fucking wild.
And his shit was so. He's like, "Who would do money?" Like his shit was so deep, you can't even.
And he was when he was like doing voodoo.
No,
do you believe in voodoo?
Yeah, this shit's funny as fuck.
That's so funny. Anyway, the Lord making his UFC debut. He is only 22 years old in the light heavyweight division against Ian Kutalaba, who's been. He's been fighting for a little bit in the UFC now, since 2016.
I'll never forget when my man just showed up totally painted green.
Oh, yeah.
To the weigh-in.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Like, literally entire body was green.
He just recently beat Fathead.
Fathead.
In January. He's only 23, so two young contenders coming into this. Who do you got?
I am going to go with the power of Kutalaba in this one.
Okay. I'm going to take the Polish newcomer.
You're going to take the Polish newcomer. Okay. Cool. We'll see what happens. Kutalaba definitely kind of has a rough record here against fighters who have, you know, a little bit of hype behind them, as in Jared Cannonier and Misha Serkinov.
Right.
So we'll see what he can do against the newcomer. Maybe kind of give him a rough start in the UFC.
I think he will.
You don't think he will.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't think he will. Fucking.
So, in the next fight.
The one that we were kind of waiting for.
It just got taken away from us? But kinda, not really. I mean, this wasn't the one exactly that we wanted.
Mark God, the Hand of Godbeer versus Walt Big Ticket Harris.
The big ticket.
The big I can't hang with three silver doom ticket.
Yeah. That's crazy. He's coming right back in.
Right back in there.
Yep.
Needs another payday.
It was a quick fight. I mean, he just got put in a quick little arm bar. No biggie. I'm back at him.
It's fine. Everything's fine.
You guys didn't see that, all right? Never happened.
So he's back in the cage. Fighting the Hand of Godbeer. I don't know, man. I think I got Hand of Godbeer winning this one.
I think I am going to join you in taking Godbeer on this one.
Cool. The Englishman.
He's just a big, scary dude. And
he's just a big, scary dude. That's up, about it.
Straight up. He's just a big, scary man. The Hand of Godbeer has some good quality wins. He's beaten Daniel Spitz. He did lose to Justin Ledet. And he also lost to Czech Congo in Bellator.
Nice.
So we'll see what Godbeer can do here. I think he's going to come in here and take this one. You know what? I want to switch my pick. I think Walt Harris.
Too late.
Oh, okay.
I'm kidding.
Godbeer it is. I'm just kidding. No. Walt Harris probably. He had been training for Godbeer before this.
Yeah.
Not that Godbeer, like, you know, hadn't been training for him too, but you know,
right,
this was the fight that Walt Harris was training for.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the former gold glove boxer is gonna get it.
Cool. Okay.
I got Walt Harris. You and I are going against each other in these ones.
I see that. In the next one, James the Texecutioner Vic against Joe Irish Duffy. Or is it Irish Joe Duffy? Probably that one.
It's Irish Joe.
James Vick had been fighting in the UFC since 2013. He was just 4-0 when he came in the UFC. And
wait,
he
what did you just previously say?
James Vick?
Yeah.
Fighting in the UFC since 2013?
Oh, okay. Go ahead. Sorry.
He was only 4-0 when he came in the UFC. Got on a 5-fight win streak before getting knocked out by Beneil Dariush. And he's now on a 2-fight win streak. So he's trying to get right back up where he was. And I think he can do it. What do you got on Joe Duffy?
So we got Irish Joe over here. Listen, people always want to sleep on my guy Irish Joe. He's beaten Conor McGregor. He has beaten Reza Madadi Mitch Clark. He's only lost against Dustin Poirier and a guy by the name of Ivan Musardo. So listen, this guy, Joe Duffy, is 17-2 right now. Like I said, has beaten Conor McGregor, has some really good quality wins, and throws a heavy hand. Now, James Vick, on the other hand, always a threat to submit you. Very good on the ground. But I think Joe Duffy's going to get inside of Vick's length and land a couple big punches, probably drop him, and I think he might finish him in the second round.
Nice.
Getting a little specific on that one.
All right. I got Vick unanimous decision.
So we've disagreed on the last... Five fights.
Five.
Yeah.
Nice.
Who'd you pick in the first one? Oh, we both picked Zahabi.
Yeah.
Just a quick rundown. We both picked Ayman Zahabi over Ricardo Ramos, Ovince St. Preux over Corey Anderson. Monty had Alexei Oleinik. Slim had Curtis Blaydes. Monty had Randy Brown. Slim had Mickey Gall. Monty had Ion Kutalaba. And Slim took the Polish newcomer Mikhail Oleksychuk. And Monty takes Walt Harris. Slim takes Mark Godbeer. Monty takes Joe Duffy. Slim takes James Vick. Make sure you guys...
I hope you were taking notes.
We'd love to hear who you guys pick too. We will be posting before this card, asking who you guys got. We'll be circling, showing who we picked, all that good stuff. It'll be fun. Monty's going to make it look pretty.
Yeah.
So that was the preliminary card that will be on Fox Sports 1, maybe. Whoever fucking knows. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
So the main card of the biggest fight card of the year.
What a fire card!
The Man. One that Monty's been preaching about since day one. Monty called this. Don't you guys say I didn't call this like in our first couple fucking episodes. Paulo Borra Chinha. What I say, Slim? He's going to end up being the champion, didn't I?
And he's the man.
Here he goes on with his first fight on the biggest card of the year. My man slips onto the main card.
One of the biggest cards in history slips on the main card. That's huge. Huge. But that's because the UFC knows the power that Borra Chinha brings.
And they want to start exposing him.
Can he knock out Big Rig, though?
Yes.
Wow.
He can possibly knock out anybody in that 185-pound division.
Did you see... I thought I sent this to you. It was... hang on, let me find this. Is this meme had me dying? It was a picture of Johnny on the scale. It says, it's fight week, and Johnny Hendricks' toughest opponent awaits him. And then it said, scale by brutal KO.
That's funny.
I was like, goddamn. That's fucking nuts. Another cool picture I found on Instagram. Action Bronson hanging out with the champ. The
female champ. Oh, Joanna. Look at that.
Hell yeah.
Action. What a goofball.
Right. Anyway, Borra Chinha, the biggest prospect to come out of the middleweight division in like the last year.
Monty's been telling you guys.
I'm with the hype.
Yo, Borra Chinha via first round KO.
Same.
And if it's not first round, it's coming in the second round. Same. Straight up.
That's all you need to know.
Borra Chinha stays unbeaten. Gonna end up being the champion of that 185-pound division.
I believe it.
Straight up. Been telling you guys. Watch comes Saturday. Watch and see what happens. You guys are going
to be there.
Put on alert.
Will you be there?
I'll be there.
Where are we going anyway? Are we going to Johnny J's? I think they're probably showing
Fuck Johnny J's.
Why?
Fuck Johnny J's. Fuck Johnny J's. Fuck Johnny J's. We're going to Legends. Or Jerseys.
Not Jerseys. Jerseys is like a frat bar.
You're like a frat boy.
I am?
Yeah. You're very fratty.
It's you, my friend.
You're a fratty dude.
I'm not fratty. I was Sasuke for Halloween. Like, not just Sasuke, but a Katsuki Sasuke. Like way down the line, Sasuke. Like, you would have had to have been watching this show for 5 years, Sasuke.
Damn.
You would have called me a jock.
Super not frat boy, I guess. There's a difference between jock and frat boy.
Okay, well, you were both back in high school.
I was not a jock. I did mad drugs.
Yeah, but you
and
were like,
didn't do anything in school.
Mr. Popular Guy.
Yeah, just because I was popular doesn't mean I was a jock. You fucking worm.
Okay.
You fucking donut.
I'm not Colby Covington!
In the next fight.
The
co main event.
Right. The one of the biggest welterweight fights of the year. Jorge Gamebred Masvidal versus Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. This, I believe, whoever comes out of this faces Colby Covington for the belt. For the interim belt.
If Woodley has like a long layoff or something?
Yeah, because it's supposedly his surgery could be 6 months.
I mean, I guess if that's the case, if they want to do the interim belt thing.
I think you almost have to if he's out that long.
All right. I mean, yeah, that makes sense. If they end up naming a...
John's rocking out.
If they end up naming an interim fight, yeah, that'll probably be the one. But if not, we already discussed it. I want to see Covington versus Kamaru Usman. And let's see what would happen if there isn't a... What about Dos Anjos versus the winner of this fight? When does Robbie Lawler fight?
Yeah, they're fighting at 219, I think. Or 218, one or the other.
When does Ruthless Robbie fight?
He fights Dos Anjos. Either at 218 or 219.
So the winner...
Or maybe it's their own fight night. I don't know.
Yeah,
remember.
Those two fight. The winner of those...
So we just say fuck Colby? Colby.
Colby is going to fight Kamaru Usman.
I'm calling. Kamaru's already fighting, though. Like, maybe. If Kamaru puts on a dominant performance, I could see him doing that.
Or Darren Till. Straight up.
Yeah. That'd be cool. Well, no, I want to see Till versus Perry now. That they've already
I do too.
They've already built that.
They might do Covington versus Till.
We'll see.
We'll see.
Time will tell. This welterweight division is the most stacked right now as it's ever been.
True.
And the most competitive division in the sport, I think, right now.
Yep. I agree.
Anyway, who you got in this one? I don't know.
I'm going to go ahead and pick...
I'm going Wonderboy.
Wonderboy by decision.
Decision? You think he's going to go that long?
Yeah. I think he's going to grind out a nice win.
Okay.
Masvidal might take a round or two if he's lucky and end up squeaking out a win, but I got Thompson winning probably 29-28.
Okay. Same.
All right.
I'll take the same.
So in a MMA official pick, Wonderboy Thompson over Gamebred Masvidal. In the first championship bout of the night.
Right.
A night of championship bouts.
Undefeated. Best women's fighter ever.
Of all time. Ever.
Joanna Jędrzejczyk.
Joanna Jędrzejczyk.
I thought it was Jędrzejczyk.
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 Joanna.
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 Against Roslug Namajunas.
Yeah. And Joanna's been talking that spicy wild shit.
Oh, yeah.
That mean.
But, man, Rose has been looking fearless coming into this.
She always is, man.
I do think Joanna is just a little bit bigger than Rose, though. And I could see Joanna moving up to 125.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, she could do that, maybe.
Maybe going for the super fight?
Maybe that's in her future. We'll see. If she just ends up dominating, she might just have to. But this is going to be Thug Rose's first shot at Joanna. All the other prospects in the division pretty much have gotten a shot at Joanna.
And now they're all fighting amongst each other.
Now Rose is at the top, and it's her chance to see if she can take the belt. And honestly, I think she might be the best equipped fighter to beat Joanna.
Yeah, I think she's got a good chance, but... How do you go against Joanna, man?
You can't.
And that's why I'm picking her.
I am going to be the first one.
What?
Yo, to pick.
For the upset.
I have to go with my girl on this one. Wow. I think she had a lot of trials and tribulations early in her career. And I think she's learned, and I think she's at a mental peak right now that only a few people in the world can reach. I am going with the biggest upset of the night and of the entire year.
Yeah.
Thug Rose via rear naked choke.
The over 400 underdog right now.
In the fourth round over Ioana in a hard fought bout.
If you call this, I'll buy you a bottle of whatever alcohol you want.
We shook on it. It was on the show. Fourth round, Rose Thug. You saw this, Sean. Thug Rose.
Can you just try to hold my hand, bro? Rear naked choke.
Rear naked choke.
All right. I think you're wrong, but that's fine.
So, just to clarify, is that like a specific... it has to be like all those have to be right?
Yes, fourth round, rear naked. Okay. Rose.
All right. All right, cool. Whatever.
All right.
Sounds good.
So, Monty, I got Ioana.
With the huge upset
big,
pick.
Big. Big on big.
Big upset.
We got the next, the second title fight of the night, another undefeated champion.
Yep, the only two undefeated champions in the UFC.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Dope.
Can you think of any others?
No.
Me either.
Cody No Love Garbrandt against TJ Dillashaw.
Yep, fighting...
the bad blood finally gets to be hashed out.
Mm-hmm. Former teammates, former... UFC Ultimate Fighter coaches.
I feel like at this point they're pretty much just fighting for the right to have the money fight with DJ now. Do you think? You see where I'm coming from?
I mean, yeah, that's like the what the winner gets of this, but they got some bad blood that they need to settle.
Sure. Oh, for sure.
So, honestly, I just see Cody going in here
and doing the exact same thing he did against... Cruz.
Everybody thinks Cody's such a head case and he just has too much anger all the time.
But I think he really proved himself against Cruz.
He is just so good at focusing and channeling his anger into positive focus. And, I mean, he does some things in the cage that a lot of people can't. And he throws his fists like a lot of people in the UFC cage can't. So... I think he is going to get the knockout in the second round, and it's going to be a vicious one, and I don't think he's going to want to stop. I think it's going to be a bad intention knockout, like when Dan Henderson put the H-bomb on Michael Bisping.
Woo, I think he might give him that one for good measure.
I think he might give him one for good measure.
Woo, okay.
I got Garbrandt via knockout second round.
I'm not going to call my shot like that because I don't like to pick rounds. You never know.
Yeah, I mean...
But I will say Garbrandt, either TKO or knockout.
All right. We're both going A&A, MMA, official pick. Cody Garbrandt.
We need a clip for that.
A&A, MMA, official pick.
Cody, No Love Garbrandt. And it'll be like a picture of him, like a moving still picture. You know what I'm talking about? You ever seen like a picture like where it's like a like, kind of like a GIF, but like it's moving?
Sure.
Yeah, we'll have like one of those.
All right.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
The final fight of the night.
The
return of Rush.
One of the all-time greats to ever grace the UFC cage. George Rush St. Pierre making his comeback, trying to get a title in a division that he hasn't fought in.
Ever.
The middleweight division.
I've been very critical of this fight. The yep. whole time it's been announced.
We've been talking about this one also for a while. Now it's here.
It's good to know that Michael Bisping is actually the underdog. And if you'll remember, I brought up earlier, I was like, well, I wonder, you know, I think it's weird that the champ is the underdog. And I wonder what other championship fights have happened where the champion have been the underdog. Let me give you a little facts here. UFC 74, Randy Couture against Gabriel Gonzaga. Randy had the belt. Gabriel came in. And Randy beat him.
He was the favorite, though?
Gabriel was the favorite.
Yeah, you didn't clarify that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. UFC 75, Rampage Jackson against Dan Henderson. Dan Henderson was the favorite, and Rampage won. UFC 91.
And Rampage was a champion?
Yes.
You didn't clarify that?
Yeah, I did.
No, you just said Rampage. You didn't say anything.
UFC 91, Randy Couture versus Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar was the challenger, if you'll recall.
So who was the champion?
You're an ass. Okay, so Brock ended up getting the belt on that one. UFC 98, Rashad Evans versus Lyoto Machida. That is when Lyoto grabbed the belt from Rashad.
Brutally.
Very brutally. UFC 118 and 125. Frankie Edgar, the underdog, by a huge margin against BJ Penn in the first one, beat BJ. In the second one, it was Gray Maynard. It went to a draw with Gray Maynard.
Okay.
Third one. UFC 128, Shogun versus John Jones. John Jones beat Shogun. UFC 164, Benson Henderson against Showtime Pettis. Showtime got the belt.
Wow.
UFC 168, Chris Weidman against Silva. This is the second one.
So Weidman,
that was number two. That was when Silva broke his leg.
Ah, gotcha.
UFC 189, Robbie Lawler versus Rory McDonald. Robbie kept his belt. UFC 205, Woodley versus Wonderboy. The first one, it was a draw.
Wonderboy was favorite.
Yes. 190. And Eddie Alvarez versus McGregor. McGregor was the 160 favorite.
Ah, we should have thought about that one.
I know. I don't know why I didn't. So, yeah, those were all the times in the UFC history that the champ was the underdog.
Wow. It's an avocado.
Avocado.
So,
anyway, Michael Bisping versus George St. Pierre. There's so many uncertainties in this fight. People say Bisping might retire when he loses. George St. Pierre might retire. George St. Pierre is apparently under contract that he has to defend the belt if he wins. Michael Bisping has said that now this is the best camp he's ever been in, and he feels great, and he wants to keep doing it. Who knows? Who really freaking knows what's going to happen in this fight?
Man, it's going to be hard. I think it might go all five rounds, and it's going to be a close one. But I think...
honestly, all these title fights have potential to go five rounds. We might be in that bar for a while.
Right. That's a lot of time. But I think Bisping, unanimous decision.
Same. I think he's just got the size advantage, honestly.
So you're taking him because of his size? I just think George's just his layoff and just kind of all of the things that are going on behind the scenes. It's his first time ever fighting in this division. I mean, he's never really had a fight like this against Bisping, and I mean Bisping's pretty tall for this division, so I mean it's going to be kind
of
hard.
He's actually only got 2 inches of height on him, and George actually has the reach advantage.
Does he?
By 1 inch.
He does have really long arms, but he doesn't throw like Bisping does.
No. Well, he's got a nice leaping jab that he does.
Yeah.
Which will be interesting to see if he uses that to set up his takedowns. I don't know. I just don't know if he'll be able to take Bisping down.
Yeah, Bisping's definitely going to have to, of course.
I'm not saying Bisping has the best takedown defense, but...
He's going to obviously be looking for it.
Yeah.
So... We're going to see if he can actually defend it, though. I think if George can get it to the ground, obviously it's his fight. He'll be able to grind it out that way.
Yep.
And that's probably what he is going to be trying to do, is take it to the ground and just grind out a win. But
I'm sure.
I think Bisbing's at the best point in his career right now.
For sure.
And, I mean, it's a tough fight to call, man. It could go either way. I mean, it's... The slightest of margins right now on the odds, and I mean, I understand why.
Yeah, I'll take Bisping.
I'll take Bisping too. So, yeah, that is UFC 217. It's gonna be fucking awesome, dude. I can't wait.
I'm excited.
About to be super lit, ready to watch it. You guys can always see what we're doing. See if we, if you want to maybe come watch it with us, you can, you know, check us out. Maybe see what we're doing.
Yeah, cool. Maybe probably be Legends of Greed.
Yeah, I'll be trying.
You know what I'm saying? We need to hit up the owner, and we need to get a hold of our girl, Leela, and try to get...
Leela, that is not her name.
Oh. Oh, that's awesome.
You silly boy. Her name Leah.
Yeah. And see if she can get us in with the owner and we can get a sponsorship.
That would be super freaking awesome if we could get a sponsorship.
That'd be hard.
So apparently, in just, you know, some news, TJ Dillashaw has a huge feud going on
right
now with fighter Chris Holdsworth.
Oh, yeah, I heard about this.
Yeah, so apparently Dillashaw landed an illegal blow to Holdsworth's head.
Mm-hmm. In training.
And, I mean, there's been a lot of back and forth going on about that. But now Chris Holdsworth is saying that TJ Dillashaw took special supplements.
Oh.
Maybe hinting at
doping.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Trying to get USADA on Dillashaw's case a little bit.
Interesting.
Before the fight, maybe trying to take Dillashaw's mind off of it a little bit. We'll see how that kind of plays into it. See if that affects him at all.
Wow.
Yeah.
Playing the heavy mind games.
Mm-hmm. Right. Did you see the video of Holly Holm doing some kick training?
No.
Some high kick training. And on the bag, there was the face of one Chris Cyborg.
Uh-oh.
Holly taking shots.
Uh-oh. Literally.
You think that women's fight is bound to happen?
Yeah.
So
I think that's the only choice for Cyborg at this point.
Yep. I agree. I think that'll be a really good one. And
what do you think Cyborg walks around at?
Probably like
170
something.
Pew. It's a big girl.
Maybe 160, like high 160s. So did you see, Slim?
No.
That the UFC is bringing back the retro logo that we were just baking not too long ago?
What?
They will be bringing it out of retirement.
For what?
Apparently, did Dana White have a full head of hair at all? Can you look that up for me?
Yeah.
Look up Dana White with hair.
I believe he did.
I mean,
that was like 19 years ago he got into that.
Yeah, so apparently they are bringing it back just for like the apparel and shit. It's not going to be like on any, you know, like out on the canvas or anything.
Fine.
But yeah, they're going to be putting out some... No.
I don't like that.
Are they all photoshopped?
No, they're all just fucking weird looking. My man looks super Russian.
He does look super Russian. That's funny. Yo, that's
good.
Look
at this one.
He looks like a shitty lawyer.
Oh, like the lawyer that shows up in like a freaking sweater vest.
Dana with hair. Yikes.
I didn't like that. No wonder he went bald. Or went with the bald look, rather.
Yeah, prayers out to UFC fighter Raquel Rocky Pennington.
Oh, why?
She was in an ATV accident where she rolled her vehicle and her leg was pinned against the roll cage.
Damn.
And, yeah, so, you know, she's a contender there in the UFC bantamweight women's division, and kind of a tough blow there. She also dates Tiny Tornado Tisha Torres.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Cool.
Fun fact. A little bit of a UFC romance there.
Dope.
Yeah. Also, in some UFC news, the biggest of announcements, our boy is back. Or did we announce that last week? Khabib?
Yeah.
We announced that last week?
Okay. Yeah, we did.
That just hit me that we did. Yeah, Khabib versus Edson Barboza, UFC 219. You already know we're excited. Slim getting nudes. I can see them through his glasses.
Hey, we out here.
Slim is not out here. So, yeah, that's kind of some, just a little bit of news for you guys. I hope you guys really enjoyed it or whatever.
you know, I had a good time giving it to you guys, and, you know...
On this spoopy episode.
Yeah, I mean, it was real spoopy, and, you know, I had a good time. I thought it was...
Yeah, you went from evil Dark Monty to, like, I don't even know what you are now.
Well, I'm just trying to, you know, have a good time here. I'm trying to be positive and, you know, just have a good time.
All right.
That was episode 28, you fucking dorks. We had a great time fucking doing it for you.
Yeah, we did.
Shout out to LWM for always giving us our platform to spit our shits.
And make sure you're out there Friday for Dwayne Duke Shame Flashbacks. Dwayne Duke! At the Rialto Theater in Kenmore.
Gonna be super popping. You can check all of our cool people out there. We're gonna have our COO, Sean Asty Nasty out there, spitting hard tracks and smacking fat booties all over the place. If you see the guy who has two butt cheeks literally just glued to his face, that's Sean. You'll know him.
Yeah.
Slim is gonna be the one who is in the corner, rapping, sweating really, really hard.
Why?
Trying to get ready. Who are you using?
I'm not rapping.
Why do all your Snapchats look like that? How do all your Snapchats look the same?
Smiling, bro.
How do all your Snapchats look the same, though?
I don't know. I got a good smile. I like to show it off.
This has been the Gregorian calendar episode.
Yeah, and we'll see you guys next week. We'll be breaking down UFC 217 and...
We'll be breaking down the fucking review of it.
Yeah. We'll be going forward to UFC Fight Night 120, Poirier versus Pettis.
Yeah. And I might have a new feature for before the fights next week.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. Some insight takes from Slim and I. I'll have something ready.
Okay.
I got some ideas.
Okay.
Maybe spice up the show a little bit. Put some crushed red hot pepper in there.
Put some stank on it.
Ooh. See you guys.
All right, guys. We'll see you next week. Adios.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.